Welcome to the Neighborhood Church Misawa Sermon Podcast. NCM is a multicultural church serving the English-speaking community in Misawa. For more information or to contact us, visit us online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.
We are in the midst of our Empowered series, and so Empowered. Empowered means to give official authority or to act on behalf of someone. And so God desires, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we act on his behalf as we pursue his calling in our lives, as we pursue following after the Great Commission to share the gospel, to disciple, and to train. And so he desires to empower us so that we can accomplish the things that he's called us to do. And so we have looked at, in the past couple of weeks, we looked at how the Holy Spirit empowers us to boldness, empowers us to discipleship, and empowers us to heal. So today we're going to be talking about how the Holy Spirit empowers us to speak. Have you ever said the wrong thing at the wrong time? Yes. Yeah. Don't worry, I'm not telling any of your stories, babe. I know, but I can tell you later if you'd like to know. So, we all have put our foot in our mouths at some point, I'm sure. Some of us more than others. When we were in Okinawa and we were associate pastors there, the pastors were out of town. They were back in the States. And I was kind of coordinating the services. And so at the end of the service, or on this service rather, it was during the playoffs, during baseball playoffs, right? And so everybody was wearing their jerseys. Everybody was decked out. And of course, what jersey were we wearing? Let's see how well you know us. Yes, thank you. At least one of us knows. Yankees. We can wear it again just to make sure. Did you say Mets? I'm going to bring you up here and anoint you in Jesus' name. See, I'm about to put my foot in my mouth right now. And so everybody was decked out in their things, and we were wearing our Yankee stuff. And it's at the end of the service, and one of our members had worked really hard to invite a family to come. And this family just happened to show up on this Sunday, and they were wearing their jersey, their baseball jersey. They were wearing the Royals jersey, right? And so I'd made it all the way through the service, hadn't put my foot in my mouth. But in the last few moments of the service, as I'm about to pray and dismiss, I look out, and then my mouth gets ahead of me, right? And I look out, and I'm looking at the Royals jersey, and I said, "The Royals? What have they ever done?" It was exactly just like that. It was like a collective, like all the oxygen in the room pulled out because they realized that this was visitors. And I think I said a little bit more trash talk than that. I'm just saying. And so it was like a collective gasp in the room, not to mention that this was actually the year that the Royals had gone to, were going to the World Series. So I just looked like an extra dummy. And so in that moment, I put my foot in my mouth and I went to them afterwards and I apologized. And they said actually that endeared them to the church because they like to talk trash as well. So in that moment, it worked for me, but it doesn't always work out that well, right? And so not only do we not want to say the wrong thing at the wrong time, we want to say the right thing at the right time. And so the Holy Spirit desires to empower us to not just speak. Anyone can talk, but to be able to speak the words that are seasoned with the truth of God in the right time, at the right moment. And in and of ourselves, we'll never know that. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be equipped to do that and to speak the truth. Let's look in Acts chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 22. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. Scripture says, "The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Father, we thank you for your word that encourages us, that challenges us, that shows us the pattern for how you desire to not only move in us, but through us, Father. May we be open and receptive to your word, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we saw the actual healing part of this story. If you weren't here, you can go back into Acts chapter 3. And Peter and John were headed to the temple to pray. And as they were going, they came across a man who had been lame, as we see in this last verse of verse 22. For over 40 years, he had never walked. He had never moved on his own. And so he was there begging and he was crying out. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter and John were a part of seeing this man receive healing and getting up and walking. But because of that, the Sadducees and the temple guard brought Peter and John in. They held him overnight until the next morning when they brought him before the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish court, kind of like the Supreme Court of the Jews. And so they had authority, they had power, they had standing, they had weight in who they were. So here are Peter and John standing there. I don't think the Sanhedrin or the Sadducees or the Jews, I don't think they thought that anything further would happen with these people who were following Jesus. I think this is what Satan thought as well, right? The enemy thought that we've killed off Jesus and we've taken care of this mess. We're not going to hear from them anymore. We're not going to have to deal with these disciples. We're not going to have to deal with these Jesus followers anymore because they're going to run in fear. They're going to run afraid. But what they didn't count on was that the power of the Holy Spirit was going to come and empower these people. And instead of running in fear, they were going to stand boldly to proclaim. They were going to pray over people and see healings. They were going to speak boldly by the power of the Holy Spirit and watch people get saved. And so the Sanhedrin asked him, they asked him one question: by what power or name did you do all of this? See, the Sanhedrin, if you look, the Sanhedrin and the Jews, they always tried to trick people up. They tried to trick Jesus up. And thankfully, I mean, he's Jesus, and so he wasn't able to be tricked. But because these disciples, because Peter and John had also been with Jesus and they had the power of the Holy Spirit, they weren't easily tricked as well. And so they asked him this one question: by what power or what authority did you do all of this? But you have to remember that this is the same Sanhedrin that Jesus stood before not long before this time, when he was then arrested and taken to be crucified. The same Sanhedrin, the same people that had that same power, that same authority, although Jesus gave them that power and authority, it's the same Sanhedrin. And so here are Peter and John standing before them, knowing what could happen. Can you imagine what was running through their minds? I mean, if you've ever been called into an office anywhere, It's never exciting. It's never fun. Sometimes it's good. I know sometimes when I tell someone, hey, I need to speak with you, and they're like, what I do? No, it's good. It's good. It's good. Don't worry. But if you've ever been called into an office, automatically you're like, what did I do? But here are Peter and John standing before the Sanhedrin, which had a lot of power. What must have been running through their minds? Maybe, just maybe, they were recalling what Jesus had spoken to them in Mark chapter 13, what we know to be Mark chapter 13, verses 9 through 11. Jesus told the disciples this. He said, you must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus had warned them that, listen, one day this is going to happen. And here they were standing before the Sanhedrin, probably recalling all of Jesus's words, probably praying and asking the Father, praying and asking the Holy Spirit for response. And so on this moment, as Jesus spoke to them, recalling back to Mark, he gave them two charges, right? He told them, here's what you need to do. You will be brought in, but here are your tasks. Here's what your task is. And that first task he gave them was to preach the gospel to all nations. You will be brought in, but your task does not change. Persecution will come. Your task does not change. And not just them, but us. Guys, as the culture changes and as persecution or whatever may come, the task for us does not change. We are called to preach the gospel to all nations, to all peoples, no matter what they look like or how they act. We're called to share the gospel. That is the charge that we have been given. Preach the gospel. And it doesn't just mean from the pulpit. Guys, I cannot do this by myself. I was never called to do this by myself. Chaplain Henderson cannot do it all by himself. Guys, as the body of Christ, we are called to preach the gospel. That means in your workplace. That means in your school. That means in your neighborhood. That means with your friends and your family. We're called to preach the gospel, share the good news of Jesus. It takes words. It takes us sharing the good news. And you know, there's a popular saying that's been around for years. Sometimes it's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, but they haven't really found that he actually said this. And the saying goes like this: preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And that sounds so pretty, right? Ooh, yeah, I want to preach the gospel. And if necessary, I'll use words. And it's to draw our attention to our actions and the weight that they carry. But it's not really biblical. Jesus never said, demonstrate the gospel, share the gospel by being kind to someone. Scripture does say that we are to have the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, it says to have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're supposed to have that. We are supposed to demonstrate the love of Jesus. But if we don't use words, we haven't communicated the gospel. Jesus said, preach the word, share the gospel, share the good news of Jesus. No one will ever know that Jesus lived, died, and resurrected unless the words come out of our mouth. We could be kind to people all day long. That's the world is kind to others, right? There are people in the world who are being kind to others, who are demonstrating what looks like to be the love of Jesus, but they don't have Jesus. And so we could be kind all day long, but if we are not using and sharing the gospel of Jesus to go along with it, we're just being the world. And that's what Jesus called us to do. I know that we hear this saying and we're like, that sounds great. I want to share the gospel. And if I need to, then I'll use words. But Jesus said, no, you go and preach the gospel to all nations. You go and share the gospel. And sometimes that means that we have to get over the nervousness that carries within us. Sometimes that means that we have to be willing to step out, but it's not us stepping out, right? When Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin, it doesn't say Peter, filled with himself, said this. No, what a scripture said. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. See, it's not us, it's not our words, it's not our intelligence or anything like that, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit that we need to lean into so that we can share the gospel. God wants to empower you through the Holy Spirit to speak the truth, to speak this gospel, which is life-changing, to allow these words to come out of your mouth so that others can know what God has done for you and be changed and be transformed and be set free forever. God wants to move through you. He wants to use you. And the second charge that Jesus gave them in Mark 13 was not only preach the gospel to all nations, but he said, don't worry about what you're going to say, but lean into the Holy Spirit, as I just said. Lean into the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, who's going to give you the right words at the right time. So as Peter and John are standing there before them, can you imagine the words? What, Jesus, how do I respond? How do I respond to this? And see, I don't think that they were trying to come with words to escape punishment. I think they were trying to come up with words that would declare the gospel of Jesus, even in the face of the Sanhedrin, because those people needed Jesus as well. And so here they were trying to come up with words, but it wasn't that Peter in the middle of the jail cell was like, hey, John, can you help me take notes of what I should say tomorrow? What if they ask me this? Or what if they do that? No, it doesn't say that they had a clear plotted out plan. In fact, it says that the Sanhedrin was so shocked by how they spoke because they were so uneducated. Now, you know that I am all about being educated. I mean, we have a library back there because I want you to read and learn. We have a bazillion different Bible studies because I want you to learn and grow in the ways of the Lord. I'm all about education. I'm in school. I'm in graduate school. Education's important, but if we have education without the Holy Spirit, it's just education. And so we need the Holy Spirit to empower us in what we've learned and what we have so that we can be a light in the darkness, so that we can share the good news of Jesus. And so it says, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't Peter's eloquence. It wasn't Peter's cute response. It wasn't something that was going to be on a meme. It wasn't going to be something that was going to be cool for a Facebook or Twitter or whatever kind of post. It was seasoned with the Holy Spirit at the right time in the right words for what needed to be said. And that's what we need in our lives. We need the power of the Holy Spirit moving in and through us. I read a story recently of a pastor. He was a pastor in the 1990s era. So I know many of you weren't born, but 1990s era in East Tennessee, Pastor McKinley. And Pastor McKinley went to a hospital to do a hospital visit from someone at the church. And after he had finished praying for them, he walked out and he saw a group of people outside of the ICU waiting area. And they just looked really distraught. And so he kind of lingered, creeping, and he kind of lingered to hear what was going on because he wanted to be, if there's anything he could do, right? And so he lingered there and he realized that everyone spoke Spanish and he didn't know any Spanish. And so he was trying to wait and see if someone spoke English so that he could interact with them. And he realized that one of the young women could speak English. And so he went to her and he's like, what happened? Is everything okay? And she said that they were coming from up north and they were driving down and they had a horrible accident and her sister was put into ICU and they didn't know if she was going to make it. And so he said, is there anything that we can do? And she was like, no, there's nothing you can do. I think the rest of the group is going to continue traveling. And my mom and I are going to stay here because we don't know how much longer she's going to last. And so Pastor McKinley went and picked up his wife and they came back and brought food. And the next day he went back. He wanted to check on them. And when he gets there, the sister who knew English wasn't there. And so he's like, great. I don't know Spanish. She doesn't know English. Okay, how am I going to do this? But, we can all act out things. And so he just went up to her and did the, praying sign. And she said, yeah. I mean, she didn't say yes. She said, see. And so he began to pray for her. And as he began to pray, he got to thinking, well, she doesn't know English. So if I speak in tongues and pray in tongues, she's not going to know the difference because she doesn't speak English anyways. So I'm just going to pray in tongues because I want to pray through the power of the Holy Spirit. So he begins to pray in tongues. And all of a sudden she starts crying and wailing and sobbing and saying, see, kind of confirming the things that he was praying. And he just thought, well, this is different. And so as he finished praying and said, amen, he lifted up his eyes and he looked and he saw that the sister was standing there, the one who spoke English. And she said, well, I thought you didn't speak Spanish. He's like, well, I don't speak Spanish. He's like, yes, you do. You said you don't speak Spanish, but I just heard you. And he's like, no, really? I don't speak Spanish. And he said, no, I just heard you speak Spanish. You were praying for my mom and telling my mom that Jesus came and died for her and she needed to receive salvation in him and to pray and ask him to come into her life. And in that moment, and the sister was like, and that's what she was doing. She was receiving Jesus into her life. And so later on that day, the sister who was in ICU, she ended up waking up. The next day, she moved to a regular room. And a couple of days later, she was discharged. And he said he never saw him again. But it's in that moment, right? In that moment, empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak. See, guys, it's not just empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak the gospel, not just empowered in the Holy Spirit to speak the truth in moments. Sometimes it looks like praying in the Spirit in moments where we need to so that he can declare the praises to the people. Sometimes the empowerment does look like us boldly declaring the gospel of Jesus. Sometimes the empowerment to speak is sharing a testimony and what Jesus has done in our lives. But it takes us being willing to speak, being willing to share, being willing to say, yes, God, I will share the gospel. I want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so that's what he longs to do in our lives. He desires to empower us. He desires for us to be filled with a baptism of the Holy Spirit so we can move in the same way as Peter and John. See, the Holy Spirit wasn't just for Peter and John that way. The Holy Spirit wasn't just for Pastor McKinley on that day in that way, but he desires to move in us. And I don't know about you, but I want the power of the Holy Spirit moving in my life. I want to be empowered to speak. I want to be empowered to disciple. I want to be empowered to heal. I want to be empowered in all of these things and boldness. I want to be empowered so that God can move in me and through me so that people can come to know Jesus. You know, the closer and closer we get, the days get crazier and the culture gets crazier. And I feel like every single day, because scripture says so, every day we get closer to his return. And there's a part of me that says, Lord, return, come quickly. Why do you wait so long? And the other part of me that looks out and knows that my neighbors don't know Jesus, how many on base don't know Jesus, how many in the United States don't know Jesus, and Iran and Iraq and Argentina and all of these different places that don't know Jesus. And so it is our job, it is our calling that although you may not go to Argentina, you can definitely share the gospel of where you're at. You can share the gospel to the people that are around you. You can share the gospel to your neighbors and your coworkers and your classmates and your family members. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, watch them be changed. It may not be like that. It could be. But God will faithfully begin to work in their lives. When we say, yes, God, I'm willing. God, I desire you. I seek after you. I want to seek you in prayer. I want to seek you in your word. I want to seek you and learn from you and have you fill me with your Holy Spirit. And out of that, we will see God do amazing things. If I can get the worship team to come. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak takes us being willing to not rely on our own craftiness of words, but saying, Jesus, how desperately I need you. Jesus, how desperately I need you. Jesus, Holy Spirit, I need you to speak to me. I need you to speak through me. What is it that my neighbor needs to hear? What is it that my coworker needs to hear that's from you? Because the Holy Spirit knows them better than we do, knows what they're going through and knows what they're struggling. And in that moment when we say, yes, God, how can just a simple word, it may be one sentence that the Lord has been dealing with them, and you coming along empowered by the Holy Spirit, speaking that same thing, confirms in their life. So what about you? What is it? Are you desiring to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Are you desiring to allow him to empower you to speak wherever you're at and to whomever you're talking to?
Thank you for listening to the Neighborhood Misawa's Sermon Podcast. If you need prayer, email us at neighborhoodmisawa@gmail.com or online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.